Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you this morning. Let's pray. God built the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. God calls us to be builders as well. God calls us to build our lives, to restore broken places and continue to grow. God calls us to build our faith, to study the Word and ponder its interpretation. God calls us to build our communities, to build bridges of understanding and systems of justice. God calls us to build history by fulfilling the promises of Scripture, to preach the good news of God's love and liberation for all people. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is the epistle from Hebrews 1, 1 through 4, and 2, 5 through 15. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. The end of the epistle. The second reading from the Gospel is Luke 4, 14 through 21, which is page 835 in your pew Bible. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." the end of the gospel.
Do you remember the great lightsaber battle from The Empire Strikes Back? When Darth Vader tries to turn Luke Skywalker to the dark side, to join him, ruling the galaxy as father and son. Luke, it is your destiny. It's an all-time great movie line and scene. Luke declines, has his hand cut off, and falls to his apparent death instead, just to avoid that destiny. Destiny. It's not a word that we use much these days, except in the movies. But it's what our passage from Hebrews this morning is about. Our human destiny. What our story is about. What our future holds, according to the writers of the New Testament. The speaker at a fall presbytery meeting a number of years back focused on the importance of story. He insisted that that's what the Bible is. Story to be told. Story to be heard. Not a book of theology to be studied in silence. Not mostly for private devotions or learning systematic beliefs about God. Until the invention of the printing press, very few people were literate. Almost no one had books. They told stories about God, about us, about destiny. An Anglican theologian, N.T. Wright, takes that even further. He says that since the Bible is narrative, story, if you want to understand it, you start there. Unless you get the big storyline right, you get most of the rest wrong too. You need to know, so to speak, what the picture on the puzzle box looks like. Or you end up with a confusing pile of pieces that don't really seem to fit together. Get the story right, the big picture, and everything else falls into place. One of our May presbytery meetings focused on environmental responsibility. Is that really even a Christian concern? Well, yes, if indeed we get the story right. Our story this morning may not seem familiar. It's not the dying and going to heaven narrative that we're most familiar with. But it helps us to understand our human destiny better. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. What story is this we're reading? Well, it's a creation story. It's a new creation story, actually, based on the old one, where Adam, humanity, was appointed steward of the world and the image of God in it, the reflection of God's glory. How did that story go? Not so well. Adam, humanity, chose to obey, to worship other created beings, angels, instead of God. The word for that is idolatry. He handed his power over to the angels, the rabbis said. Dark angels, some of them. And we've been subject to them ever since. But that was never what God intended. God put humans, not angels, in power here. So what would God do if God wanted to get the story back on track? Start over with a new Adam who didn't fall, who didn't hand human authority over to angels, and did fully obey God. Who was that? Jesus. And in the process, Jesus reclaimed the superiority over angels that God intended for humans, for us in the first place. Defeated the devil for us. Took back the world from the devil and all his angels for us, humans. That's why Hebrews 1 moves directly from creation to Jesus' superiority over the angels, turning the tragedy of the Genesis story on its head. We didn't read all of chapter 1 together. Do. But again, what story are we telling? A story about a day coming when we die and go someplace spiritual out there? Heaven? No. That's a Greek story. This is a Jewish story about setting what went wrong in a good world right again. Reclaiming this place so that God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Listen again to the story the Hebrews is telling. Now God did not subject the coming world of which we are writing to angels. What world? The coming world. But someone has testified, what are human beings that you're mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, you've left nothing outside their control. What story is this? Who does God intend to subject the world's future to? Us. Humans. Is this the familiar story about souls going to heaven when we die? All fly away. Well, no, it's not. It's the Jewish story. The story of the coming world, as in, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. A story where the world is restored to the way God intended it to be from the beginning, with humanity, us, restored to our role as stewards, caretakers, the image of God in it, reigning, but as servants both to God and to the world, reigning over angelic powers, even dark powers, demonic forces behind the violence, division, warfare, racism, injustice, oppression, hatred, chaos, sickness, and death, which have held this world in bondage for so long, rather than being ruled by them anymore. The story is of a good world that needs deliverance from forces it was never intended to be subject to. And our part, our human role in that deliverance, being what we were intended to be, destined to be from the beginning. It's not about a bad world that we need to escape from. I'll fly away, O glory. You know the song. Get the story right, and the details start to fall into place. Get the story wrong, and reading the Bible is like putting a jigsaw puzzle together without a picture. Back to that story. Now, as it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. What story is this? It's still the same story of humanity, Adam, called to be God's steward in this world, but with a further observation. It still doesn't seem to be happening. We do not yet see everything in subjection to humanity. Demonic forces, hatred, injustice, bigotry, pandemics, a chaotic creation are still everywhere around us. But we do see Jesus after being obedient where Adam wasn't, after submitting to God's will and suffering death for us, after being humbled for us, after defeating sin, death, the devil, in his great cross and resurrection battle. Jesus is reigning now, already, at the right hand of God for us in humanity's place, in Adam's place, being the image of God for us, continuing the battle with all the powers of darkness until the last enemy is fully and finally defeated, being Lord of all, leader of his people, holding a seat for us and bringing us to the point where we're ready at long last to do and to be what we were destined to be from the beginning. What? Leave? Die and go to heaven? Fly away? Go be with God? No. For all the truth that may be in that, it's basically the wrong story. To fulfill our human destiny, to be the stewards and the caretakers of this place, to take on the role that we were given from the beginning, to reign for God with Jesus, our brother, as the meek to inherit the earth with Jesus, the rightful heir, who isn't ashamed to call us siblings. Is that all confusing? I know it isn't the familiar story, but it is the Bible story. Does it even matter if we get the story right? Who knows exactly what happens after we die? It matters because the story is about destinies, which makes it about how we live today. The point of dying and going to heaven Christianity is preparing ourselves for an otherworldly hereafter, saving my soul. I need to be saved from the world. I'll fly away. The point of kingdom Christianity, reigning with Jesus Christianity, is being saved for the world, in the world, with the world. In I'll fly away Christianity, I'm made right with God so I can spend eternity out there somewhere. In kingdom Christianity, I'm made right with God so that God can begin to use me to heal this world. Starting right now, and to help set all creation right. in all flyaway Christianity. The world is expendable. Societies don't matter long term. Souls matter. In kingdom Christianity, all creation matters. This good world will be redeemed. And social justice now anticipates a world finally and fully set right. In all flyaway Christianity, discipleship is preparing myself for heaven. In kingdom Christianity, discipleship is learning to live here, in and for the future. Now, being called to practice forgiveness, humility, justice, compassion, peacemaking, environmental responsibility, learning our jobs. Not for my soul's sake, but for the sake of the world that we've been given responsibility for. Doing everything we can now to heal the world. Why? Our destiny is to be stewards of this place, to inherit it with Christ, to be the image of God in this world that we are intended to be. Getting the story right matters if we're to become what we're called to be. God put us in charge here. That's the story. That's the destiny that we were created to live toward. And now to the one by the power at work in us is able to do far beyond all that we ask or even imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. Go into the world and proclaim the good news. The Spirit is still at work among us, disciples of Christ, sending us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to those in captivity, to be healers and a freedom force against all oppression, to boldly go as disciples, trusting in the Spirit's guidance. Go on your way, rejoicing in the strength of God. We fix our eyes on the grace of Christ, and we drink deeply of the Spirit who makes us one. Amen.